The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hello, all my theocidal Christian friends. How you doing, you theocidal maniacs out there? Are you guys ready to worship some Aztec gods? Are we going to join with the California Board of Education and with the Ethnic Studies Model Curriculum? And let's just do a little Aztec god worship together, and that's what we'll teach our kids. And I'm sure the American society will just improve by leaps and bounds. We got to get you theocidal Christians out of the way, and then we'll usher in an age of enlightenment and peace and prosperity for all mankind. It will be beautiful. Hey, how you doing? Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Easter, a Merry Happy Kwanzaa. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. Yes. Wow, Steve, you sure are snarky. Yes, well, if you spend as much time reading through the news of the day as I do, you would be snarky too. Okay, there's so many things to go through here. And the theocidal maniac activity, I'm going to save that for the end. That's a story from National Review. It came out just about a week ago. Bonfire of the Sanities, California's deranged revival of the Aztec gods. And you're like, come on, that's just California. No, you got to quit saying that. In this country, in 2021, you just got to quit saying, oh, that's just, that's California, man. Land of fruits and nuts, right? No, that's largely becoming the United States of America. California is not the outlier she used to be. So we'll get to that one because that's just too rich to go first on. So let's talk about how about Joe Biden? Joe Biden, the Biden administration, did you catch this? Actually, let me give the president some props here. The last two speeches on the infrastructure bill and his crackdown on guns, he sounded a little more coherent to me. I mean, I don't know if it's the smoothies, the energy drinks. I'm not quite sure what's happening there, but maybe it's the prayers because we need to pray for the guy. Okay, I can't stand just about anything he's doing, and it really disturbs me to see him speak publicly, but we need to pray for him, right? That's the deal. Paul said to Timothy to pray for those in authority over us, which was Nero at the time. And so I think we can muster up a few prayers for President Joe Biden. Okay, so that was on Wednesday, coming out as far left executive order. This is from the Daily Wire, aimed at cracking down on the Second Amendment, of course. Then they got to this part. The statement said that the administration was, quote, try to help me understand this, okay, because I certainly don't. Try to help me understand this because you got me on this one. Investing in evidence-based community violence interventions. What does that mean? This is such bureaucratic governmental gobbledygook, okay? The statement said that the administration was, quote, investing in evidence-based community violence interventions. Okay, well, let's go there for a second, shall we? Violent crime is skyrocketing all over the country, especially in blue-controlled, Democrat-controlled cities, skyrocketing. And in Minneapolis, where they wanted to do away with the police department and defund the police, and the other places where they played that game, de Blasio in New York City, things have only gotten worse. So would we call that evidence-based community violence interventions? Is that evidence-based community violence interventions? You know what the intervention they need? Good law enforcement. You know, good guys with guns going after bad guys with guns. Is that evidence-based community violence intervention? I think so. Finally, the administration announced they will nominate David Chipman. Did you hear that name yet this week? To serve as director of the ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearm. Chipman worked at Giffords, which advocates for gun bans. CNN called Chipman a fierce advocate for gun control. Oops. That's not good. Chipman locked his Twitter account. Nothing to hide there. So people cannot see what he has stated publicly. However, a comparison of online archives to his current account appears to show that he has deleted well over 1,000 tweets. No problem. Biden's new actions run contrary to his pledge to unite and heal political divisions in the country, as tens of millions of law-abiding gun owners will rightly see his actions as an assault on their freedoms. In the statement, the administration also renewed their call for banning so-called assault weapons, which is a made-up term that refers to semi-automatic long guns, which essentially function the same way as pistols, meaning that a shot is fired every time the trigger is pulled. The administration also called for Congress to repeal gun manufacturers. Listen to this. Repeal gun manufacturers' immunity from liability, which pro-Second Amendment advocates say is a blatant attempt to bankrupt the gun industry. Okay, here's how this would work. Let me put that into practical terms for you if you're not a big Second Amendment person. Let's say that there's no immunity from liability. So you are out in your Ford, driving around in your Ford, your Toyota, your Kia, whatever, and you get in a terrible accident. And somebody in the other car dies. Horrific, terrible, right? Hands down, no question about it. So somebody sues Ford, whatever the manufacturer is of your car, Ford, Kia, Cadillac, for all you theocidal Christians, BMW, and you sue the manufacturer because the manufacturer created something that you purchased that was capable of killing another human being. And so now the manufacturer is culpable. They're liable. So right now, gun manufacturers have immunity from liability. If you're a criminal, psychopath, and you use a gun to kill somebody, that's not the gun manufacturer's fault. That's yours. You, my friend, need help. You're a murderer. You're guilty. You're a criminal. Not the gun manufacturer. You are. In the olden days, we called that personal responsibility. So the Biden administration, you knew that was going to happen. And how much of that's Joe Biden and how much of that is the puppet masters, I don't know. Here's another one. Biden wants to cement a governing majority. Now, this is a really important story out of Politico, okay? Not exactly a bastion of conservative thought. It, quote, really could be definitional for our party for the next 50 years. It's all about power. Remember that. Don't think it's about money. It's really about power. It's about power and control. Okay, so this is about the Build Back Better bill. This is the infrastructure bill. So I want to take you through this article when we come back from the break, because there's several points you need to understand here. This is always about power and control. It's not about the kids. It's not about the kids at the border. It's not about humanitarian crises. It's not about helping poor people or black people or Asian people. It's not about any of that stuff. It's not even about, quote unquote, saving the earth. It's not about anything other than power. Raw, unadulterated human power. That's it. And what is that ultimately? That is idolatry. We don't want God to have authority and God to be the moral authority in the world. We want that job. Same thing, same issue that Satan had, same issue that every fallen man has had since the first man and woman were created. Idolatry and government as God. It's nothing new under the sun. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Snarky Friday. This is your friend. If you're in Christ, your brother, Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. And just in case you're wondering, what's the deal with Steve on Friday and like being snarky and stuff? Well, if you read all this stuff and deal with all this stuff like as much as I do, you're going to end up snarky as well. So here's this one. Biden wants to cement a governing majority. Remember, it's all about power. So build back better. Build back better. Say that 10 times in a row really fast. Build back better. So we're talking about the infrastructure bill. President Joe Biden's sprawling infrastructure plan doesn't just attempt to turn decades-old progressive policy pursuits into law. Aides and operatives inside and out of the White House are coming to view it as an ambitious political play to cement and even expand the coalition of voters that delivered Democrats to power in November. Remember that? So it's all about power, more and more power. How do we keep the power? Which, by the way, I'm going to get to some of these stories about what's going on in the southern border. It's kind of messy now, but don't worry, my liberal progressive friends. It's a little messy now. And, you know, we've got some issues with some kids, you know, 10, 15, 20,000 of them unaccompanied being dropped over walls and stuff. But ultimately, once we get past all of that, man, we're just literally breeding voters in the future that are largely in a country that's secularizing itself, abandoning the God of the Bible. But because we were made to worship, they got to replace it with another one. You're not going to have no gods. You're going to go from capital G, the God, to little g, fake gods. And so what's the fake God now of choice in America? That would be capital G government. Biden's advisors contend the pandemic has laid bare the need for spending hundreds of billions of dollars on a long list of quote-unquote care economy priorities that, like roads and bridges, have been neglected for too long, exacerbating, keyword, inequality. And so in addition to pursuing a more traditional infrastructure package, the White House is eyeing a second component that will include historic investments in everything from paid leave to community college. Why? To buy votes. To increase your power. It's a once-in-a-generation opportunity to remake the structure of the American workforce and potentially firm up an electoral realignment that was hastened during the Trump years. And to the administration's delight, polling shows that voters, suburban dwellers, and women in particular, are embracing not just those individual components of the bill, but the broader concept of the federal government stepping in to help with their problems, thereby erasing personal responsibility. Yuck. We don't like that. And we don't want to have to bow down to some omniscient, omnipotent, and, you know, loving, sacrificial, patient God in terms of determining morality and what's right and what's wrong, who will hold us accountable. We don't want that. So we got to get rid of that. This is a real opportunity. This is a quote to redefine what our economic profile is going to be like with an aspect of that building part and the caring part, and really could be definitional for our party for the next 50 years, said Celinda Lake, a Democratic pollster and advisor to Biden's 2020 campaign. Boom, there you have it. It's all about driving control out into the future. Ever since Reagan, the concept of let's shrink government has been fairly popular. Been a fairly popular one among some people, said Representative Susan Wild, Democrat from Pennsylvania. And yet the truth of the matter is that what we discovered with the global health emergency, think the Great Reset, go look it up, is that you actually do need government for some things, and that a lot can be accomplished, not just on the health side of it, but also the recovery piece of it. I think, she goes on to say, that has enlarged people's way of thinking about government and what the proper role of government should be, she added. So, like I just said, here's the theological angle on this. We are a nation that is increasingly secularizing, okay? I think by most polling that and studies that I've looked at for the past 15 years, that maybe 9 to 13% of the American populace is born again, okay, talking adults. So let's 87% not born again, not actually Christians, regardless of what they may self-identify as. So and when they call themselves Christians, they still live largely a secular life. So you've got a country that's largely embracing secularism. That means no capital G God. But then we need some other source to take care of us. I don't want it to judge me. I don't want it to hold me accountable. I just want it to give me stuff. Just gimme, 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 gimme. Hey, you can't eat from that tree. What's the first? Oh, you can't eat from that tree. Did God surely say that you won't die? Right? So we've been on this autonomy thing for about 5,000 years. So that's what's going on here. So you get rid of the God of the Bible, you need another one to replace it. And that God in the American context is politics, i.e. the federal government. So that's going in their favor. And that's fitting in nicely to end times theology. So it shouldn't shock anybody. It doesn't freak me out. It's sad. It's enraging. And I'm still going to speak out against it. But I know what's behind it. And because my house isn't built on the sand of what happens in the here and the now, I don't lose my mind about it. And I hope you don't either. But it's still serious because it affects our neighbors. This is charming. Publicly funded religious colleges named in an LGBTQ class action suit. This is from Ministry Watch. A class action lawsuit just filed March 29th against the U.S. Department of Education names 25 schools that are specifically mentioned, including Liberty University, Baylor University, Bob Jones, and Fuller Theological Seminary. And there's 33 plaintiffs. The suit claims, I mean, what are these nasty, evil schools doing? The suit claims that although the schools received government funding, the government did not protect sexual and gender minority students as required under Title IX. Okay, stop right there. Title IX, which is supposed to protect, like that protects women's sports, things of that nature, based on sex, S-E-X, sex. Not the act, male, female, okay? For all us old-fashioned people. So now, because this is what the Equality Act would do, redefine sex to be sexual orientation and gender identity. So they're just ahead of the curve here on this lawsuit. The suit also says LGBTQ students are being denied their constitutional rights by the schools, including the right to privacy regarding sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression. The lawsuit said because of the DOE's inaction, students were left unprotected from the harms of conversion therapy, expulsion, denial of housing and health care, sexual and physical abuse and harassment, as well as the less visible but no less damaging consequences of institutionalized shame, fear, anxiety, and loneliness. How do you institutionalize shame, fear, anxiety, and loneliness? Here's how you do it. You stick by, declare, and ask people to sign a statement of biblical worldview faith. That's what you do. And so if you refuse to repent or call a sin a sin, you're going to feel shame, fear, anxiety, and loneliness. By the way, that's what Paul was talking about in Galatians, that the law is there to convict you of your sin. You go to Moses to get convicted of your sin. I wrote about this in the Daily Dose devotional the other day. And then Moses pushes you to Jesus to get saved. But you got to get convicted of your sin first because, ding, 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 you are a sinner. You're not a great person. You're horribly depraved. The heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all else. Who can know it? Jeremiah said. Meaning only God is actually the proper judge of the human heart. We all judge ourselves on the curve or up against Adolf Hitler or whatever. So this is going on, this lawsuit. That's why the Equality Act, which is now in the Senate, they have to get rid of the, what do they call it? Senior moment. They have to get rid of the 60 vote threshold. The filibuster. Thank you. And that's why I mentioned this yesterday, but I think I mentioned it off the air. So the filibuster, that's the only thing stopping the Equality Act and H.R. 1 and H.R. 5. The Equality Act, which will destroy religious liberty. And then the Voting Act, which will destroy any integrity that's left in the voting system. You get rid of those. But the filibuster requires 60 votes in the Senate to stop debate on a bill. So you got to get through that in order to even vote. Well, obviously, the Democrats don't have 60 votes in the Senate. They have 50 in a tie. They have 51 with Kamala Harris. So what is the deal with the filibuster and one senator, Joe Manchin? We'll go there when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Snarky Fridays, as usual. And we're talking about the H.R. 1, H.R. 5 that are now in the Senate. You want to destroy the voting system and let the federal government. Who cares? The Constitution's so old, man. That's such an old document. Goodness gracious. You wouldn't drive a car made in 1791, would you? There weren't any back then. So we just look at the Constitution and go, whatever, man. Do you want the federal government to take over federal voting regulations? No, that's unconstitutional. The Constitution specifically says that voting is controlled by state legislatures, not governors, not secretary of state, secretary of whatever. It's the state legislatures. That's the problem with all these swing states in the past election. They blew that off. So, I mean, who cares about the Constitution, really? So you've got that, and then you've got the Equality Act, which would essentially decimate religious freedom in America. Both of these passed out of Nancy Pelosi's house, of course, while she was digging in her $25,000 refrigerator, eating some $15 a quart ice cream. And then you've got one Joe Manchin. So just the other day, April 7th, in the Washington Post, his op-ed, second paragraph. It's no accident that a state as small as West Virginia has the same number of senators as California or Texas. It goes to the heart of what representative government is all about. The founding fathers understood that the challenges facing a rural or small state would always be very different from a more populous state. Designating each state with the same number of senators, regardless of the population, ensured that rural and small states and the Americans who live in them would always have a seat at the table. Welcome to Constitution class, friends. Unlike in the House, which is purely based on population, because population does matter in a lot of ways. But you don't want the big states to blow out the little states. That's also why we have an electoral college, by the way. And so you have the Senate operates differently, and it's an even Steven deal. Maine gets two, Texas gets two. The filibuster, back to Joe Manchin's op-ed from the other day, is a critical tool to protect that input in our democratic form of government. That is why I've said it before, and I will say it again to remove any shred of doubt. There is no circumstance in which I will vote to eliminate or weaken the filibuster. The time has come to end these political games and to usher a new era of bipartisanship, insert laughter here, where we find common ground on the major policy debates facing our nation. Working legislation, he says later, through regular order in the Senate, prevents drastic swings in federal policymaking. This is wisdom here. Listen, this is constitutional wisdom from Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia. Okay, this is good. Listen to this. Voting rights reforms, instituting health care protections, and changes to the federal tax code and business regulations take time to implement on the state and local levels. If the filibuster is eliminated or budget reconciliation becomes the norm, which is a way to sneak things in, a new and dangerous precedent will be set to pass sweeping partisan legislation that changes the direction of our nation every time there is a change in political control. The consequences will be profound. Our nation may never see stable governing again. His point is, when you get rid of the filibuster, then all you need is 51 votes in the Senate. Pass whatever you want. The minority has no protection. So right now the Democrats control. They can just go hog wild. Then when you flip control to Republicans, which may happen again, but that's why we were talking about Joe Biden's infrastructure plan, because that's, we got to quit that. Those wascally Republicans, we got to keep them from getting control ever again. But let's say that they do. Then they come in and they pass sweeping Republican driven legislation, just bowl over the Democrats, way to left, way to the right, way to the left, way to the right. And Joe Manchin's like, that's not, the Senate's not supposed to be like that. The Senate's supposed to be a stabilizing force. That's why they have a 6-year term, as opposed to House of Representatives, which only has a 2. We reelect every single member of the House of Representatives every 2 years. We can kick them out on their tail ends quickly. The Senate, no, slows down a stabilizing force, which is why the filibuster's been there for 150 years. Last paragraph. We will not solve our nation's problems in one Congress if we seek only partisan solutions. Instead of fixating on eliminating the filibuster or shortcutting the legislative process through budget reconciliation, it's time we do our jobs. It's a beautiful thought, Joe, but it's old-fashioned. That's dead. Okay. Out of control down on the southern border. We're pushing through some things here, okay? Then we'll get to the Aztec god worship. Starting in California, coming eastward. In the last segment, U.S. Customs and Border Protection. This is horrific what's going on down on the border. Thank you, Joe, et al., because they essentially threw the sign open and said, hey, the Trump era is dead. We're open for business, baby. And we, the Democrats, baited the trap. So when kids show up and get dropped over the wall and their heads get caught in the trap, who put the cheese on the trap? That would be the Democrat Party. Is that loving? Is that Christian? No. You're preying on people's desperation. And then they risk their lives, send their kids up here, drop them over a wall while the coyotes and the drug cartels take advantage of them, rape them, kill them, make money on them. So you can do what? Have political control? That's sick, man. Lord help us. Total crossings for 2021 already surpassed all crossings for 2020. In March 2021, CBP, Customs and Border Protection, encountered more than 172,000 persons attempting entry along the southwest border. This total represented a 71% increase over February of 2021. 71% increase in 1 month. This fiscal year, the Border Patrol has already had over 569,000 encounters. This represents an increase of 24% from the total encounters we had during all of fiscal year 2020. So it's probably going to go up by at least 100%, maybe 200%. Over 34% from approximately the same time frame of fiscal year 2013. It's a train wreck. So let's look at this. Here's this one. Total enforcement actions. In fiscal year 2019, there were 1.1 million total enforcement actions on the border by Customs and Border Control. In first quarter of this year, in the first quarter, there's been 674,000. In the first quarter, 674,000, January, February, March this year. Versus 1.1 million in all of 2019. Or, really low because of COVID, 646,000 last year. We already passed last year's in the first quarter of this year because the Democrats hung the sign on the wall, don't even finish the border fence, and say, come on in. We love you guys. We care about you. We'll stick you in cages. We'll cover you with tinfoil. We'll ship you off to places that look like downtown New Orleans after Katrina. We got you. And then later on, you're going to vote for us and keep us in power. That's what's going on there. Okay. Then there's this article. This was in the LA Times. Nearly 19,000 children traveling alone across the Mexican border in March. A complex mix of factors in the United States and Central America drove the increase. It has coincided with the Biden administration's decision to exempt unaccompanied children from a pandemic-related policy of to immediately expelling most people without giving them an opportunity to seek asylum. That's called border security, friends. It's not hateful. God endorses national sovereignty. Read the Old Testament. Children are instead released to sponsors in the U.S., usually parents or close relatives, while being allowed to pursue their cases in heavily backlogged immigration courts, meaning they won't. Once you're in, you're in. The huge increase in children traveling alone, some as young as three. Thank you, Joe. Three. Could you imagine the meltdown the media would be having if this were exactly what was going on with Trump? With the Trump cages, now the Joe cages originally built by Biden or Obama. With Joe by his side, by the way. Some as young as three, and families that are severely strained border holding facilities, which aren't supposed to hold people for more than 3 days, but often do. It's left the government scrambling to find space and hire staff to care for children, and they can be placed with sponsors. Caring for children, the government caring for children. What's that all about? Government is God. Government in control of everything, including your kids. We'll get to that. Border officials had 52,904 encounters with people arriving as families, with about one in three being expelled as, and the rest allowed to stay in the U.S. to pursue asylum. So they're only expelling about 33% of families that come in. So we're looking at, you know, million plus this year, easily. A million plus. Democrat voters in the future, most of whom will be Democrat voters in the future, which tells you exactly why they're allowing it to happen. They don't care that people are suffering. They don't care that the drug cartels are making money. They don't care that there's human trafficking going on. They don't care about the rape, plunder, and pillage happening all along the Trail of Tears down there. They do not care. Why do you think they support Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry? They don't care. And I don't even know how much of this is in their frontal cortex versus just the depravity of not being in Christ and having the Holy Spirit. Lost people do what lost people do. And oftentimes they can't even see it. It's just this power. It's sick. Really sad. All right, more about our kids. So don't care about this. Don't care about kids. We'll do it for the children. Yeah, what about the 62 million we've killed? This is from the San Francisco Chronicle. Just the other day, ninth grader Andrew Tate felt like he was in a deep hole when he dug himself from his San Francisco bedroom as he procrastinated for months on school assignments, his motivation absent. A straight A student in middle school, Andrew started ninth grade in August at home. His classmates' tiny faces and square boxes on his computer screen. That's called Zoom. It took a really big mental toll, the 15-year-old Thurgood Marshall High School student said. He started missing assignments and failing classes. The growing backlog overwhelmed him. I felt a lot of guilt from it, he said. He lost hope that he could academically recover. In the wake of stay-at-home orders that pitched California students into academic and social isolation a year ago, countless students have endured similar mental health struggles. Families have watched as their previously motivated and chatty children became despondent, angry, listless, afraid, and in some cases, suicidal. Another trail of tears, courtesy of power-hungry progressives. We don't care about the kids. They'll say they do. Can you hear the hiss of the snake? This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you. Walking through just some more proof that our liberal friends and neighbors can say they care about the kids and care about the babies, but we don't. Because we do all kinds of horrific things to them as we're moving through this life. We're bankrupting them in the future with our $28.5 trillion in debt. That's only going to grow. And we kill them in the womb. And now we're messing them all up in the head and their emotions by keeping them out of school, yada, yada, yada. And then pretty soon, starting in California, we're going to teach them how to worship Aztec gods. And that's going to bear a lot of fruit, right? For the devil. But back to this story. And we just prayed together on Facebook Live during the break. So if you're just on radio, if you join us on Facebook Live, just go to the Steve Noble Show on Facebook Live on Facebook, and you can join us here in the studio. And then you can watch the show later. So when you're on a commercial break, which is important, and we love all our radio partners, that's the epicenter of this ministry and has been for a while, we have an opportunity because the video and the commercial breaks where we just prayed together just a minute ago for all of our elected officials and all these stories. I'm hoping that not just rage, that's normal, but do we allow this to drive us to lament and to prayer over our nation and for our neighbors? So this is the story from the San Francisco Chronicle talking about all the destruction that's going on with our kids, which we're abusing kids down at the border and everywhere else. So this is children's mental health during the pandemic, March 2020 to February 2021. increase in mental health emergency room visits. But from listen to this. This is in San Francisco. For 5 to 11-year-olds, a 24% increase in hospital room visits for mental health issues. And 12 to 17-year-olds, a 31% increase. This is because COVID. And we kicked them out of school for power, paranoia, and fear. It's us. It's not the kids. The kids way outnumber the teachers and the teacher unions, right? We don't care about kids. Let's just call a spade a spade. Parents noticed an increase in anxiety or worry in their children. 36% increase in their girl children, 19% increase in their boy children. Negative changes in teens' sleep, 24% for girls, 21% for boys. Parents say that their child's emotional health is worse than before COVID-19. 31% of parents said, yep, that's us. Parents say they have noticed worsening mental health in their child during the pandemic. 46% say, yep, that's us. Emerging research shows a mental health crisis is unfolding among children, filling hospital emergency rooms and child psychiatric facilities while leaving overwhelmed pediatric therapists and counselors unable to take new clients. So when you talk to me about stopping the spread, almost nobody talks about all the other dominoes that are falling and crushing the emotional, psychological, physical, and in many ways, spiritual lives of our children. But who cares? What's most important is my personal health. For communities of color and families already struggling with poverty, their trauma is compounded, public health experts say, and they're less likely to be able to access mental health resources. Oh, where's the woke crowd on that one? The increase of children in crisis is striking. Benioff Children's Hospital Oakland saw 651 children seeking emergency mental health services from May to December last year, up from 368 during the same period in 2019, a 77% increase. Because of spiking demand, the capacity to treat these children is limited, with long waiting lines for licensed therapists and full psychiatric hospital beds. So we didn't overwhelm the hospital system at all with COVID. Not at all. But we can't help all of our kids who are getting crushed by our shutdowns and all the other stuff, especially in the schools. Again, we don't care about our children, largely as a society. We're bankrupting them. We're killing them in the womb. We're keeping them out of school and messing them up at home. Excellent. Just love your neighbor. Bay Area child psychiatry beds are full and children are waiting days in the emergency room to be admitted to residential facilities, a group of Berkeley health officials said. I mean, there goes on and on and on it goes in this article. It's really sad. I just shared a link for it up on Facebook Live. So pray for that. It's more to pray for. Make vaccination a prerequisite for college kids next fall. This was in the New York Daily News by two doctors. In the next 2 months, hundreds of thousands of college students will crisscross the country, leaving behind residential campuses to return to their families' suburban, urban, or rural homes. Almost all these students are unvaccinated. In the coming weeks, while this population is accessible, we must seize the moment and vaccinate all college students for COVID-19. You think the whole COVID passport thing is just hyperbole? It isn't. You wait, you watch. This isn't the mark of the beast, but it's a really good foreshadow of it. And you just watch how people line up. They'll do it under the guise of caring about their neighbor, but what they really care about is themselves. Same story, different century. So this talks about all these kids, right? And kids. Okay, let's look at that when it comes to COVID deaths. 2020 through 2021, through right now, from the CDC. 1 to 17 years of age, there have been 251 deaths. That's out of 75 million of them in America, which means they're fatality rate from COVID is 0.00033%. In the 18 to 29 year age year bracket, there's been 1,996 deaths. Every one of those tragic. But there's 43 million in that population. So the fatality rate in that population from COVID is 0.0046%. Not even 1%. Not even 0.1%. Not even 0.001%. Okay? Let's look at some other things. Death by pedestrian incident. You're a pedestrian, you're walking around, and you die. You get hit by a car, whatever. You know what your odds are of that? 0.016%. Way more likely than COVID. If you're between 1 and 29. Airplane accident, crashing in an airplane. 0.00048%. Getting hit by lightning. 0.00087%. You die in a bicycle accident. 0.025%. That's a much higher likelihood than all the others. So if you put them in order, if you're between the ages of 1 and 29, here's your mortality, your fatality rates. Here's what you got to be worried about. Number one, die by bike. Number two, die as a pedestrian. Number three, die from COVID. These are all super small percentages, right? Then die by lightning, die by airplane crash. At the bottom of the list, kids from 1 to 17 dying of COVID. They have a 0.00033% chance of dying from COVID. Let's shut them all down and then just mess them all up. Who cares? Over that, I'm not saying that any of those 271 deaths aren't 251 deaths aren't tragic. They are. Or the 1,996 deaths in the 18 to 29 year bracket. Those are all tragic as well. But you don't destroy the rest of them for that. Bonfire of the Sanities, California's deranged revival of the Aztec gods. Wow. So sad. Please, Lord. The Board of Education in California recently voted unanimously to approve an ethnic studies model curriculum for use in all of its state's public schools. This curriculum is probably the most radical, polemical, and ideological loaded educational document ever offered up for public consideration in the free world. This is from an article in the National Review. Its purpose-built program of indoctrination into the worst kind of tribal politics, a project of social engineering designed to erase the unique personal distinctiveness of the human being and remake each of us into avatars of our immutable characteristics. The knowledge that entire generations of Californians will soon be catechized in the dogmas of such a bleak and thoroughly political gospel is almost too grievous to bear. This is in the National Review. As I noted a few weeks ago, the most astonishing part of the curriculum is the section that deals with religion. Students are taught that white Christian settlers committed theocide against indigenous tribes when they arrived in the New World by murdering Native American gods and replacing them with a Christian god. That's theocide. According to the curriculum, this replacement ushered in a regime defined by colonialism, dehumanization, and genocide, and the explicit erasure and replacement of holistic indigeneity and humanity. But all is not lost, we're told, for students will learn that they have the power and the responsibility to build a social order defined by counter-genocide, which will eventually supplant the last vestiges of colonial Christianity and pave the way for the regeneration of indigenous epistemic and cultural futurity. Wow, that's a bit mouthful. The curriculum presents, listen, this is where it gets really crazy. The curriculum presents the pagan gods of the Aztec Empire as worthier objects of study and veneration than Jesus of Nazareth. As Christopher F. Rufo has observed, teachers are encouraged by the authors of the curriculum to lead their students in an ethnic studies community chant, which takes the form of worship offered up to these deities. Well, is it really that dangerous, worshiping the fake Aztec gods? What did they stand for? Students first clap and chant to the god Tezcatlipoca, whom the Aztecs traditionally worshipped with human sacrifice and cannibalism. Oh, that's good. Asking him for the power to be warriors for social justice. Next, the students chant to the gods of Quetzalcoatl, who is Potoclai and Zipi Totec, seeking healing epistemologies in a revolutionary spirit. See how that is working for progressivism? One of them in particular is the Aztec deity of war and inspired hundreds of thousands of human sacrifices during Aztec rule. So you go, oh, that's terrible. What? We've killed 60 million babies in this country. Finally, the chant comes to a climax with a request for liberation, transformation, and decolonization, after which students shout, Pancha Bay, in pursuit of ultimate critical consciousness. Wow. So just consider a little bit about Aztec history. The insatiable appetite for human sacrifice in this article. The priests of whatever he's called would appease their patron deity by laying out a sacrificial victim on a stone at the apex of the god's pyramid, carving out said victim's heart while he's still alive, and then rolling the body down the side of the pyramid, at the base of which they're dismembered and either disposed of or eaten. Post-conquest sources report that at the reconsecration of this pyramid in 1487, about 80,400 people were sacrificed in this way over the course of just 4 days. You go to the Bible and it says, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Versus the Aztec gods. Then there's another one, Tlaloc, all about sacrifice of children, but they had to torture them because their tears would bring rain. So they torture them, dismember them, and then kill them. Children! And this is what they just passed as part of the curriculum that they're going to be teaching in California. You can see it's all lining up nicely as Satan grabs more and more territory here in the United States of America and more Americans secularize and walk away from the God of the Bible to their destruction. There's a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to destruction. Pray for a revival in the church to be bold, and pray for awakening in the culture for the lost to be found by Jesus. That is the only hope we have. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.